Aha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhe Kripa Baloka Nakaro Ami Boro Duke Kripa Baloka Nakaro Ami Boro Duke Doya Koro Sitapati Adwaita Gosai Doya Koro Sitapati Adwaita Gosai Tava Kripa Balepai Chaitanya Nitai Tava Kripa Balepai Chaitanya Nitai Gora Prema Maya Tanu Pandit Gadadhar Tanu Gora Prema Maya Tanu Pandit Gadadhara Srinivasa Haridasa Doyarasa Gara Srinivasa Haridasa Doya Rasa Gara Haha Svarup Sanatana Rupa Raghunatha Haha Swarup Sanatana Rupa Raghunatha Bata Yoga Shri Jiva Prabhu Lokanata. Bata Yoga Shri Jiva Prabhu Lokanata. Doya Kuro Shri Acharya Prabhu Srinivasa. Doya Kuro Shri Acharya Prabhu Srinivasa. Ramachandra Sangamage Narottama Dasa. Ramachandra Sangamage Narottama Dasa. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doya Koro More. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doya Koro More. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Anybody would like to read a translation? Is there a second mic, or should I just do it? There's a second mic, or no? There is? Any volunteers? I can start while it's settled. My dear Lord Chaitanya, please, we'll just read. And my dear Lord Chaitanya, please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds?
Your incarnation is just to proclaim the condition of all souls, but I assure
Hare Krishna. Beautiful song by Narottam Das Thakur. We are reminded, through which we are reminded of our state, our situation. My claim is first, he says. Haridas Thakur also, who comes in this song, he also made that claim upon his departure. Today's the disappearance day of Haridas Thakur as well. So we remember that. My claim is first. Who can say that? Those who feel in need, those who understand the fallen condition of our predicament in this temporary existence, where everything, with the blow of death, everything is forgotten. What remains is our devotional credits. So that's why devotees are very eager to put some mark, to serve and to please Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So therefore, my claim is first. We can only make that claim or make that or feel that expression if we understand our true position. Otherwise, what do we hear on book distribution? I'm all set. I don't need that. they're making no claims of that kind. All right, so it was a nice reminder for me. I want to appreciate a beautiful display on the altar. When I saw for the first time, I was like, goodness, they used the banana leaves. But they didn't. You see the green color on this, and also those, how do you say, the folding part? Fleets. It's just like banana leaf. So I wonder if they call this outfit banana outfit. Because you have these like beautiful banana leaf like chadars and Radharani skirt. And then you have this kind of off-white, creamy white that resembles the banana. And where is the peel? Do you see yellow? I see yellow too, right? I see yellow too. So. And we can say also, most definitely, pujaris have gone bananas this morning. in a good way. In a good way. Wonderful yellow, wonderful off-white, creamy white. And that amazing, just like banana leaf, green. What I'm wondering, where are the monkeys? Oh, they are. No wonder. Oh, yeah. They're on the top just deliberating, probably afraid of those. Do you notice the leopards? The in the back? The big cat. The tigers and leopard. But they look very domesticated. Did you notice those leopards and tigers? They look very like they just ate a whole bunch of bananas. And very peaceful. You see those very blissed out, yeah. Blissed out smile of satisfaction. No need for blood. But monkeys are observing and they're not sure. But they're just now coming. Anyway, I just wanted to appreciate, pardon my imagination, or my wild imagination, but somewhat is anchored to devotional objects, or should I say personalities, not just objects. And it's quite okay, right, to exercise our imagination when Krishna is in the center. devotees write books about it too. It's called Devotional Fantasies. If you're a fan of devotional fiction, there's ways to do it, as long as it's in a parameter of our siddhanta. So what will be a wrong way to observe is that we speak about tigers in a different way. That wouldn't be. Oh, well, depends. But anyway, you got my point. All right, so welcome to Chaitanya Charitamrita morning, Saturday. We're reading from, it's a whole section from Madhya Lila. And we're going to read, I think, three verses of Madhya Lila, chapter 22. Oh, there's a book too. Who needs a Facebook when you have a face and you have a book? All right, Madhya Lila, chapter 22. Let me find it. And it's going to be verses from 150 to 153, I was told. Chapter entitled Devotional Service of All the Things. Something we aspire for. And something Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains to Sanatana Goswami in Varanasi for 2 months. They got engaged. On his way to India, Vrindavan, India. This section of after Mahaprabhu took sannyas at the age of 24 in Katva by Keshava Bharati, and the 6 years of travel, this section is called Madhya Lila. This is, we are kind of in the middle of it, where Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, went to Puri and for 2 years traveled South India, then came back. And then from there, you can imagine the map. He decides to go to Vrindavan, India. And at the same time, Sanatana Goswami is trying to escape. Well, both brothers, Sakar Malik and Davrikas, two ministers of Kazi. In this case, Sanatana Goswami, because this is where Mahaprabhu is spending time with him in Varanasi, he escapes the service to Kazi and goes also to West. And there, kind of in the same time, remember, there was no WhatsApp chat groups. There was no emails. There was no telephones. But somehow, by providence, they met there in Varanasi. Mahaprabhu was already there on his way to Vrindavan in the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. And Sanatana is coming, and he is just torn apart, his body is all like emaciated because he was avoiding the main roads. So he's going through these jungles and he's going through a lot of trouble to escape this service to Kazi. And he's tormented also by the feelings of separation. And he ultimately reaches Varanasi. So that's their meeting point. You can imagine. So just like that. Guided by Paramatma, internally. Later on, of course, Mahaprabhu teaches not only Sanatana Goswami, but also he taught Rupa Goswami, not for that long, but for 10 days. Also, after Varanasi, he continued his journey to Vrindavan. And there in Prayag, present-day Allahabad, he taught Rupa for 10 days in Desha Ashvamedha Ghat. Similar topics, devotional service, and the royal path of bhakti and the science of bhakti, which both Sanatan and Rupa were instructed to also write books. They were instructed to write books to excavate the holy places, in particular Vrindavan, which they did, and to establish the Vaishnava culture through literature and Vaishnava behavior. That particularly was delegated to Sanatana Goswami when he wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas. And they wrote many books. But this is what they did, because remember, at that time, this is 1500. 1500s, what was happening? So it was 1510 when Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So it took him a couple of years to travel South India, Varanasi. He probably met Sanatan at 1514, somewhere around that time. And eventually he reached Vrindavan. At that time, Vrindavan was very different. There was no temples. If there were any remaining, they were very dilapidated. Everything was covered in greenery. It was a jungle-like environment. There was no Radha Kund. Mahaprabhu actually was the one who recognized Radha Kund in a puddle. It was a puddle-like container of water. But all of that work of excavating and erecting temples, all of that was done by Goswamis. What we see today, what is remaining to be seen today after this modern influence of concrete and asphalt and so much of a development is only it's becoming harder and harder to recognize what Goswamis have worked very hard for. And personally, I'm very sad that there are no regulations or more regulations by Indian government to preserve even what we, or some of you here also, might have remembered when Prabhupada was walking the sacred dust of Raman Reti, and here we are in new Raman Reti, experiencing somewhat the same sand or similar, reminded of that holy place where Prabhupada establishes Vrindavan Mission in Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Mandir. It was very different. Any of you have been in Vrindavan in early days before the asphalts and... Yes. Would you like to share with us? How was it? Okay.
That's all I remember.
Please repeat, I couldn't hear.
It was a long time ago. It was this sand and jungle. It was not much built up back in 77.
Yeah. No asphalt yet. And also what? And no drinking water. That was a scarce too. Hmm. So lots of austerities. So you can imagine the reason why I'm saying this, or bringing you to this journey, is many reasons, but to name few. So we can appreciate what Goswamis have worked very hard for, and we can also bring to our awareness that we become advocates for preservation of what was given, and we have to push. Nothing happens just by... Actually, only one thing happens just by itself. Deterioration and the neglect and lack of care. Those things are automatic, but we have to push for preservation and to maintain. Luckily, even if we lose everything, the books are still there, so we can build it from the scratch. But let's be smart and also honor what they've worked very hard for. They are there in Varanasi. Mahaprabhu is teaching Sanatana. The whole chapter is process of devotional service. And just as a context, around that same time, 1514, what was happening in Europe is interesting. Michelangelo just finished the Sistine Chapel, the ceiling of a Sistine Chapel. And his glory was arising. So you have a Renaissance, which is part of Renaissance, that was obviously connected with what was happening in India, a different kind of Renaissance of internal awakening. So we see throughout the whole globe, throughout the whole world, something was happening. And it was the pivotal point. It was the appearance day of Golden Avatar, of which we are, the movement of which we are part of. It is still going on. This is also part of the same history that it's unfolding for the next 10,000 years, as Prabhupada informed us, and his books being the guiding light in this rather dark age of Kali, but nevertheless with the window of a golden age and era that we are part of. So the more we become attached, and the more we become in that need, my claim is first, and in a way of spiritual desperation, the more we will feel that internal guidance of not only what to do, but also how to do it. We have to be concerned to do the right thing, but that's not, just that is not sufficient. We have to be concerned to do the right thing, but do it in the right way. We can become self-righteous, because that will be an obstacle on a process of devotional service. So, this is just a little history background of what was happening at this time of Madhya Lila, chapter 22, verses 150 to 153. Looks like only 153 has a purport. So let's read that. Oh, this is rather small, so I'll resort to screen. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Deita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Deita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Ishte Svara Sikhi Ragaha. Paramavishtata Bhavet. Tanmaya Bhavet Bhakti. Satra Ragat Mikodita. If one follows in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, out of such transcendental covetousness, he does not care for the, when one becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his natural inclination to love is fully absorbed in thought of the Lord. So becoming attached, that is prerequisite. That is called transcendental attachment, and devotional service according to that attachment is called ragatmika, or spontaneous devotional service. Purport, this verse is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 12272. The whole point of Krishna consciousness is to become attached to the right persons. And that is devotee and Krishna and Krishna's eternal associates and Krishna's unlimited forms and incarnations. Somehow or other. Yena tena prakavena mana Krishna niveshayet. Somehow or other to become attached to Krishna. That is the main principle. All other things are subservient to this main principle. So somehow or other, we have to find ways to become attached. The ways to become attached, there are many ways to become attached, but the most efficient way of becoming attached is by rendering service. If you render service to anybody, you will become attached. Even if you might not like it, if you render service, naturally, natural result of that, you'll become attached. We render service to who? Why we'll be inclined to serve anybody? If they're powerful, if they're friendly, and if they're grateful. They might be powerful and friendly, but if they're not grateful, would you be inclined to continue or render service at all? No, it doesn't. But Krishna is all of that. So therefore, we serve that one master and his inner mood of servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, as taught and shown by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopi Bhartu, Kamalayur, Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa, many, many fold. and the more of a servant of the servant of the servant we are, the more we'll feel that desperation that my claim is first. The way we express that my claim is first is that we'll put ourselves in the service of the servant of the servant of the servant. That is how it's expressed. Otherwise, the picture doesn't match the sound. there's a disconnect. So somehow or other, becoming attached to Krishna in that mood, as taught by and shown by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 151. Ishte gada trishna ragera. Oh, I can actually use ishte gada trishna ragera swarup lakshana ishte adishtata. I could use the Chaitanya meter here, right? Istegada Trishnaragira Svarupa Lakshana. Iste avishtata e tatashta lakshanam. The primary characteristic of spontaneous love is deep attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Absorption in Him is a marginal characteristic. 52. It's again. Ragamai bhakti rahaya ragatmika nama. Tata shuni lubahaya kona bhagyavan. Thus, devotional service, which consists of raga, deep attachment, is called ragatmika, spontaneous loving service. If a devotee covets such a position, he is considered to be most fortunate. 53. Lobe vraja vasira bhave kare anugati. Shastra yukti nahi mane raganughara prakriti. If one follows in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, out of such transcendental covetousness, he does not care for the injunctions or reasonings of Shastra. That is the way of spontaneous love. What do they say? Love is blind? What is the eagerness that... That we remember some examples that didn't care about. And Mahaprabhu approved of. Remember, I just thought of, as I read this just now, remember that instance when Mahaprabhu was at Garuda Stamba and he was looking at Jagannath from far? And I think, was it Govinda? He was with him. And then some old lady came and just couldn't see. You know, sometimes those Indian ladies are rather short, their body, but very magnificent in devotional stature. Remember in Krishna Balaram Mandir, when you have those ladies just plow through, they just push and plow through, and you see, wow, like what's going on? And you're just like, it's like a sea part. So this lady was like that. She was so eager and couldn't see Lord Jagannath. She climbed Lord Chaitanya. She climbed and got on his shoulder or something. And Govinda, when he saw that, he freaked out. He said, "You pulled her down and chastised her. You crazy lady, what are you doing? This is Mahaprabhu. He's a renunciate. And you know better." And when Mahaprabhu saw that, he chastised Govinda. He was not happy. He called him uncultured man. She's so eager, so she's breaking all the normal rules or etiquette norms. She's breaking the norms of a regular behavior, just to have darshan. That's how eager she was. So, purport. And again, this is, I don't want to lose my eyes, but this is very... Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that a devotee is attracted by the service of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, namely the coward man, Maharaj Nanda, Mother Yashoda, Radharani, the gopis, and the cows and calves. An advanced devotee is attracted by the service rendered by eternal servitor of the Lord. This attraction is called Swarup Upalabdhi. This stage is not achieved in the beginning. So, should not try to imitate, but rather let it naturally unfold. In the beginning, one has to render service strictly according to the regular principles set forth by the revealed scriptures and the spiritual master. So we see that in the beginning of practice of devotional service as taught by, not just here by Chaitanya, but all of our acharyas and all of the Goswamis, in particularly Sanatana and later on Rupa. It's interesting here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, chronologically in this chapter, in this part of Madhyalila, the teachings to Rupa comes first. Then, it's a previous chapters, then teachings of Sanatana Goswami. But if you look at the timeline of Mahaprabhu's travels, he teaches first Sanatana, and then later he teaches Rupa. But nevertheless, they explain the same science, the whole process of devotional service, as taught by, in our case, by Rupa Goswami, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, two parts, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Sometimes devotees have misconception. Oh, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, I can just do whatever I want. No, it's still Sadhana Bhakti. I can just wake up whenever I want. I can eat whatever I want. No, that is not the meaning. It is still Sadhana Bhakti. The main difference between Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, of which Mahaprabhu is starting to expand on here now, is that in Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, the impetus or the inspiration comes from within, spontaneously. Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, I do it because I was told to. I do it because my spiritual masters have ordered me. I'll go to Harinam today because everybody's going, so I'll go too. No, I'll go to Harinam today because I like Harinam and I like to give Krishna to others. So the main difference, so there's both practices, they're both sadhana bhaktis, but the main difference is that the inspiration and impetus in Vaidhi comes from outside, externally, and in Raganuga Bhakti comes from within, internally. I want to do it. Okay, point here. By continuously rendering service through the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, one's natural inclination is gradually awakened. That is called spontaneous attraction or Raganuga Bhakti. So again, we might not have that spontaneous inclination in the beginning, but by following the instructions of a physician, considering we accept that we are in a diseased state of consciousness, that we are plagued by, that we are plagued by six enemies of the heart, and that our heart is corrupt by kama, krodha, loba, moha, greed. That's a big one. Greed and... yeah, that's a big one. And matsarya, envy. Then there's illusion and mada, madness. So six enemies of the heart have corrupted our heart. So the way to to overcome, to get better, is to follow the instructions of a physician. You take this medicine. You follow this diet. If I have a jaundice, you know, famous example of a jaundice. What is the cure for jaundice? Sugar cane or sugar. But it tastes bitter, just like the holy name in the beginning. We get maybe some sample. I'm sorry. Oh, I set the alarm. It says time for questions and comments. I was thinking I will get carried away. One second. So I have to finish the purport, then we'll open up. But yeah, you all know the example of jaundice. Okay, purport, continuing. An advanced devotee situated on the platform of spontaneity is already very expert in Shastric instruction, logic, and argument. When he comes to the point of eternal love for Krishna, no one can deviate him from that position, neither by argument nor by Shastric evidence. An advanced devotee has realized his eternal relationship with the Lord, and consequently, he does not accept the logic and arguments of others. Such an advanced devotee has nothing to do with the Sahajiyas, who manufacture their own way and commit sins by indulging in illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling, if not meat eating. Sometimes the Sahajiyas imitate advanced devotees and live in their own whimsical way, avoiding the principle set down in the revealed scriptures. Unless one follows the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Sanatan, Raghunath Bhatta, Sri Jiva, Gopal Bhatta, and Raghunath Das Goswami, one cannot be a bona fide spontaneous lover of Krishna. In this connection, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Haibha Kuti Kabe Hama Bujaba Se Jugala Piriti. The Sahajiya's understanding of the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna is not bona fide because they do not follow the principles laid down by the six Goswamis. Their illicit connection and their imitation of the dress of Rupa Goswami, as well as their avoidance of the prescribed methods of revealed scriptures, would lead them to the lowest regions of hell. These imitative Sahajiyas are cheated and unfortunate. They are not equal to advanced devotees, paramahamsas. So advanced devotees are also called paramahamsas. There's a hamsa and there's paramahamsa. Hamsa is swan. Paramahamsa is very wonderful swan. Above and beyond swan. A beautiful swan. A very special swan. What do the swans do? Have you observed the swans? They dive and they entangled in the lotuses. They like to entangle in lotuses. And lotus represents Krishna's lotus feet. So paramahamsas are those who are always entangled in Seva Sagara, the unlimited water reservoir of service, of devotional service to Krishna. If it is not wonderfully dressing the deities, then it is cleaning the floor. As a matter of fact, Prabhupada said, no difference, no difference. And the opening of Krishna Balaram Mandir, he said, Krishna Balaram, they are black and white, and this floor is black and white. Dressing Krishna Balaram, cleaning the floor, no difference. First of all, we have to understand this. Otherwise, if we discriminate, oh, this is lower service. I am a brahmana. How can I serve in this way by some low service of cleaning the floor. This is a mistake. No difference. First, we understand this, that there's no difference. All services are equally spiritually powerful. Otherwise, yeah, we take it cheaply. Sahajya. The Bauchis and Barama Hamsas are not, it's Paramahamsas. The Bauchis and Paramahamsas are not on the same level. What is a debauchee? Huh? it's sensual, overly sensual, seeking for pleasures only. Yeah, debauchees. Not prone to austerities or to regulations. Not prone to civilized life, but rather very spiritually detrimental. Also materially detrimental. There's implications, but we will not talk about that. So, that is a distinction. And let us not allow that same mentality to creep in into our practice of pure devotional service. It might not be pure devotional service yet, but this is like a phrase that comes a lot in Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, practice of pure devotional service. And as we practice, what happens with practice? You become better at it. Any archers around? I know there's some in the community. Hamsa, who grew up in Giranagar, he's a very good archer. So, and I remember him in Giranagar. He was good, but now he's really good. He can hit the bullseye with no looking. No looking. Just like Arjuna, he practiced in the dead of night. He saw Bhima eating at night. With just, spontaneous. You know when your mouth is. So if he can eat at night, I should be able to shoot arrows at night. So with all the armor, you can imagine, with all the armor and everything, he got up and practiced. That's how determined he was, how ambitious. We also have to become ambitious and on a path of devotional service to do the right thing, but do it in the right way. Okay, time is up. We'll see if there's any... Well, time is never up, but it's up right now. Any comments from you, or maybe some questions too? If there's none, yeah, okay. We have to say something about Haridas Thakur also, because it's a special day.
Well, in the beginning, you were talking about going bananas for the deities and imagination, and I was just wondering how imagination plays into this Raganuga Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti platform. And if it's something that should maybe be avoided in a Vaidhi Bhakti kind of platform, so you don't become a Sahaja, like we were reading.
Can you repeat that again?
Yeah, I was just kind of asking about how the importance of imagination in our Sadhana Bhakti practice. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that, if that's something that... we should intentionally try to cultivate, or that comes and
power. It will come naturally. It will come naturally. Just stick to the process. It'll come naturally. Like it's called moments of reminders. You'll walk through the world, and then you'll be reminded of Krishna based on what you heard from Shastra. If your consciousness is changed, then you'll start perceiving the world in a different way. You won't be imagining, but when you see a peacock, you'll be reminded of Krishna. It's called tadiya, things that remind us of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So, and you will never be lost in that way, as Krishna promises in the Gita. For those who see me everywhere and everything they see in me, for them I'm never lost, neither I'm lost to them. But we stick to the path, so as we walk through the world, there will be plenty of, should I say, spontaneous ways to imagine things, but anchoring them with Krishna and Krishna's devotees in the center. As I was triggered, seeing that beautiful green of bananas, and reminded that, yes, we should go bananas for Krishna and service. My claim is first. Yeah, it comes spontaneous. But in the beginning, we have to follow as strict as possible. So later, it comes natural. As Mahaprabhu also saw a dune, a sand, and he thought it was Govardhan. Then he saw some ladies and he thought they were gopis. And then somebody was singing and it was rushing. He said, no, don't go there. So they had to be controlled. Yes. We have a few more minutes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for such a great class. I'm reminded also that we need to be as resilient as Haridas Thakur was as he was taken to different marketplaces and beaten, and how I know like anybody else would just cave in, you know, and just be like, okay, you know, fine. But he was so resilient. And yeah, that's very powerful. And also to be like the Paramahamsa, like the swan, and always being attached to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna and what we have here. So thank you. It kind of came full circle for me.
Mm-hmm. 22 marketplaces. Did not give up. He couldn't. I mean, it's just... And Haridas Thakur, he is... By Vrindavan Das Thakur, he is explained to be the embodiment of devotional service. And the whole... How appropriate the whole chapter here we're covering these days is the process of devotional service. He was the embodiment of it. Of course, it's Brahma who made a boo-boo with Krishna and stole all the cowherd boys and calves and apologized. He was so embarrassed, shed tears, falling flat, begging for forgiveness because he messed with the wrong boy, thinking that Krishna is an ordinary boy. And then prayed, also he prayed to Lord after he circumambulated Krishna. I went back to a powerful planet, Brahmaloka, never affected by any influence. When Hiranyakashipu ruled the universe, it was not over Brahma. Always above any influence. Yet, he made that mistake, and yet he begged Lord Chaitanya to give him opportunity of his Sangha. And he came, rightly so, in a form of Haridas Thakur, learning humility, being born in a meat-eater family of Mohammedans. He was positioned right away in that humble mood of service and yet established as Namacharya. And that was Brahma's repentance. And as he was leaving, he only had one desire, to leave by clasping to Lord Chaitanya's feet and while chanting Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. That was the only desire he had. Because when Govinda brought him Samaha Prasadam from Jagannath, he said, I cannot. I'm not feeling well. What is it? I have not finish my prescribed number of rounds. 300,000 names daily. What is that? 192 rounds every day. And he was already like elderly, in an advanced age. So Govinda brought the news to Chaitanya. Right away, next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he said, Haridas, I heard you're not feeling well. He said, yes. For some time now, I only have one desire, and then he expressed this desire to him. I just want to hold your feet. And Mahaprabhu said, please do not speak like that. You are my only source of happiness. And Haridas said, do not create this illusion, my Lord. Please grant me this desire. And Mahaprabhu, at that time, he left, and then he came again next day. And he asked Haridas, what is the news? And Haridas said, whatever mercy you show me, my Lord, that is the news. So Haridas Thakur set Mahaprabhu, offered him asana, and he grabbed hold of his lotus feet. And with his two eyes, just like bumblebees, he drank the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's brilliant, moon-like lotus face. And he was chanting, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. And in this way he had left this world, which was perfection of all of his desires, long-cherished desires. But before he left, Mahaprabhu, it was during the tumultuous kirtan that Mahaprabhu ordered, while Vrakeshwara Pandit danced ecstatically, and all the devotees with their raised hands, they were chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ecstatic kirtan. And as Haridas Thakur left, Mahaprabhu danced with his transcendental body. Also bathed him in the ocean. That is when the ocean became the holiest of all tirthas. It was by the process, or by the fact that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed in the ocean, so prema was distributed long time. The entire world was inundated by that sparsha, by that touch of Mahaprabhu's transcendental body, who bathed in Puri every day in that same ocean. But yet it took Srila Prabhupada for us to understand what was distributed 500 years ago, right? It's right there in our midst, but we have, in order to understand what we have received from Mahaprabhu, it took Srila Prabhupada. So as Haridas Thakur was baited, with his own hands, Mahaprabhu dug out the sand. It was placed in samadhi. And with his own hands, Mahaprabhu honored his devotees, particularly the devotee Haridas, by begging alms. He was begging alms, and big feast was prepared with big kirtan. So today we remember that. It's a beautiful pastime. We can absorb more and more in detail. Hare Krishna. We are over time. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Sitana Premanande.